It is good to be here with all of you this morning. As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about a time in my life. We're getting that adjusted there. Thinking about a time in my life when I was a younger man. I had just committed my life to Jesus Christ, and I was probably a Christian for maybe 1 or 2 years, and I was heavily weighed down with my own sin and just not measuring up and not understanding why I was struggling the way I was struggling with all of the things in my life at that time. And so I decided to go to a pastor and talk to a pastor, and I got there, and the pastor, in the course of the conversation, said to me, "Jerry, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home and return in a week. But between now and the next time you return, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write down, reflect on your life, and write down every single sin you have ever committed." I said, "Well, I guess I can do that." So I went home, and I started to reflect throughout the week. I got a pad of paper, and I started to write down sin after sin after sin. I wrote down how I sinned against God and rebelled against Him. I wrote down how the thoughts in my mind were impure. I wrote down the behaviors that were not pleasing to God. I wrote down how I sinned against other individuals. I wrote down how I was sinning against myself. And when I got done with that exercise in that week, I had over 3 pages of sin, single-line space. So I went back the next week to this pastor, and he called another pastor into the room with him. There was 2 pastors now there. And they said, "Now, confess your sins to us." And so, sin by sin, I confessed. I explained to them what happened. I explained to them what I did. I explained to them why it was sin. Most of them, they didn't even have to know why it was a sin. They just knew that it was a sin. There were some really ugly things on that list. And when I got all done with it, it was about a 2-hour process. And when I got all done with it, both of those pastors looked me in the eye. And they said, "Jerry, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven." I will tell you that at the end of that time, I was a new person. The burdens that were on my life were just lifted off of my life. I walked out of that office a new creation. I was not the same man that I was when I walked into that office. Now, why could they say to me that your sins are forgiven? It is because of the holy sacrifice of God, Jesus Christ. They said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven." Jesus Christ is the holy sacrifice of God. He is described in the Scriptures in at least 2 different ways. One way is that He is the Passover Lamb. He is the Passover Lamb for us. Now, what did they mean by that? You see, when the Israelites were in Egypt and they were enslaved for 4,000 years, God came and delivered him with 12 plagues. Twelve. And when it got to the last plague, it was the plague of death, and the oldest of the families were going to die. And God said to Israel, "Take a lamb and sacrifice the lamb and put the lamb's blood on the doorpost frame of your door." And on that night when the Lord came through, if those people who were inside the room, who were inside that house with the blood, death passed over them. No one died. But any house that didn't have that blood on their doorpost, the eldest died. He is the Passover Lamb. He's also called the Sacrifice of Atonement. Now, what does that mean? Well, when someone sins against you, you want to be justified. You want to have some kind of a satisfaction that they understood that they've done something wrong with you, to you. You want them to pay back for what they've done. If they've stolen something, that they need to return what they've stolen. If they've said something wrong, that you need to know that they're somehow repentant and sorry for their sin. You need to be satisfied that what they do is enough to put your anger aside. You see, atonement is that which satisfies God's anger because we have sinned against God. We have failed against God. And the day of atonement, when the sacrificial atonement was offered was on the day of Yom Kippur in Israel. Now let me describe that to you. You see, in the temple of the tabernacle, there was this room that was called the Holy of Holies. And inside this room in the Holy of Holies was a thing called the Ark of the Covenant. It was a big box. Inside that box was the tablets of the Ten Commandments. There was a jar of manna that they had taken a sample of while they were wandering in the desert that God had provided for them for 40 years. And there was Aaron's rod that had budded. There was a cover on that ark. And on top of the cover, there were two angels, and it was called the mercy seat. And inside that Holy of Holies, where that ark was, they believed that God's Holy Spirit dwelled in there. God said He would dwell there. And the entrance into that Holy of Holies was blocked by a very thick curtain. Nobody could go in there. In fact, God said no one is to come into this Holy of Holies, because if you did, you would go into the presence of a very holy and pure God. And if you were in there, if I had gone in there, I am wicked, I am filled with sin. And when sin meets the pure, the sin dies. So you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Except for one person on one day of the year, and it was on Yom Kippur. It was on the Day of Atonement. The high priest could go in and offer a sacrifice on behalf of Israel. Now, the sacrifices were this. They were blood sacrifices. Every time I committed a sin and I was convicted of it, I needed to bring to the temple a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And then I would offer that sacrifice, I would be forgiven of my sin, I'd walk away, and if I did something outside the temple, all of a sudden, I needed to bring, that was sin, I needed to bring another sacrifice back to the temple. This went on every day of the year. But then on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, the high priest would bring in a sacrifice for all of Israel, for all of their sins to be forgiven. But the next day, you sin again, you have to bring another sacrifice. And so even that wasn't enough. It had to be done year after year after year. And here's what would happen on the day of Yom Kippur. On the day of Yom Kippur, the high priest would come in with a bull and two goats. And he first would sacrifice the bull. This is, by the way, in Leviticus 16, if you're interested in reading about it. He would sacrifice the bull, and then he would take the bull that was sacrificed, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. Oh, wait a minute. Before he did that, he had to wash himself. He had to wash himself to make himself pure, because he was a sinner going into the presence of a holy God. Then he had to put on these set-apart garments, these holy garments. Then he would sacrifice the bull, and he would take the bull into the Holy of Holies, and he would take the blood of the bull, and he would sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat. And then he would sprinkle it around the floor, making atonement for the Ark and for the floor. In other words, it was representing himself and his family, the bull did. So he was making a sacrifice for himself and for his family. Then he'd come out of the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle it on the altar, atoning the altar, because a wicked person, an evil person, would be coming into the presence of God, and so that would have to be atoned for. And then he would burn the sacrifice on the altar, and when he did, he was forgiven. Now he was ready to offer a sacrifice for Israel. Then he'd go to the two goats, and there would be two goats there, and he would cast lots for the goat. The one goat that the lot fell on, that goat would be called the Lord's goat. The other goat would be called the scapegoat. He would take the Lord's goat and he would slaughter the Lord's goat, and he would go into the Holy of Holies again, and he would sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant and on the floor, again atoning for Israel. And then he'd come out and he would sprinkle it on the altar, atoning the altar for Israel, making them clean. Because when sin happens, death comes into the world, and when you go into the presence, you would defile them, and so you have to show God that a sacrifice has been made. Then he would take the goat, and he would put it on the altar, and he would burn it, and all of Israel would be forgiven of their sin. There's only one problem. That would have to be done every year. And he was in the Holy of Holies doing this with this big curtain. Outside the curtain was this place called the Holy Place, where he would burn it. The ordinary people couldn't come in there. So they were on the outside, listening, hoping that this high priest would come out of that Holy of Holies alive. that he did everything right in order to have the sacrifice for all of Israel accepted. So what he did with the scapegoat is he would take the scapegoat out to the people and he would lay his hands on the scapegoat and he would confess the sins of Israel over this scapegoat. And he would say, I confess that we have not loved you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I confess that we have not kept your day holy. I confess that we have taken your name in vain. I confess that we have had other gods and other idols. I confess that we have not respected and honored our parents, that we have committed adultery, that we have committed fornication, that we have lusted, that we have stolen from one another, that we have not loved you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. And then he would take that goat and he would have someone lead that goat out into the wilderness. Now, the name of that goat in Hebrew is Azazel. It means a takeaway goat. It means a goat that goes into the wilderness. And it was a visual image to Israel that all of their sins were taken away. And there is belief that when that happened and Israel saw that goat walking away, they would shout, Azazel! Shout that with me. Azazel! Shout it again. Azazel! The goat, can you picture that? The goat is leaving, never to be seen again. The goat is gone, the sins of Israel gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. And how far is that? If you go east, no matter how far you go east, you will never meet the west. If you go west, no matter how far you go to the west, you will never meet the east. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Why is this so important to us now? Well, all of that sacrifice, all of that blood that was needed to be offered up was showing Israel, was showing us how bad sin is. One lie, one thing stolen, doesn't make a difference what it is. One time you look lustfully at someone, one time you commit for, no matter what it is, death comes into the world. It is a serious sin with God. And so it shows us the wickedness of ourselves. It shows us the penalty that needs to happen. And because in Israel it needed to be happening every day and every year without end, it showed them we needed a Savior. We need something else besides an imperfect animal. Now fast forward, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John introduces us to this holy sacrifice of God. In John 1:1 it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He describes this sacrifice, this Word that is God. And he says this Word is the Creator of the world. There was nothing that was created, that has been created, that He did not create. He is the source of life. All life comes from Him and flows from Him. He is the light of the world. You see, Isaiah said the world was lain in darkness. Those living in darkness have seen a great light, and the darkness was our sin that covered the whole world. He said that this Word of God, which is the source, which is the light, which is the Creator, became flesh and dwelt among us, in verse 14. This is God who came to us. And in John 1:29, John says, Behold the Lamb of God, who is full of grace and truth. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The Word that became flesh. He is the perfect Lamb. You see, He is not this lamb or this goat or this bull that has some kind of defect. In fact, those animals were dying for my sin. And so they couldn't die perfectly for me because they're not human. It had to be a human death that would die for my sin. And so here is Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, made flesh, God, 100% God, who can take away my sin, and also 100% human. And now when He dies, my sins can be atoned for once and for all. And so here is this Word of God. This Word of God becomes flesh, and He lives among us. And in John's Gospel, chapter 18 and 19, it says, this man who is innocent, this man who is God, was arrested and he was taken before the authorities. And he was accused of things that he did not do. He was completely innocent. He was taken before the Jewish authorities. He was taken before the Roman authorities. He goes before Pilate, and Pilate says, "Who are you? What have you done?" He comes back out before the people and he says, "I find no basis for anything." They say, "Crucify him." He goes back in. He talks to him some more. He says he has him flogged. He has him whipped. He brings him back out. He says, "Here is your king." "He is not our king," they said. "Crucify him." "Why should I crucify him?" "Because in our law it says that anyone who claims to be God must die." Pilate, now frightened, takes him back in. He says, "Well, exactly who are you?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my people would be fighting for me. My kingdom comes from somewhere else." Pilate is convinced that he's innocent. He tries to convince the group. They will not do it. So he brings Jesus out another time. He sits him down, and he sits down and he says, "Here is your king." And as soon as the people saw him at that moment, what did they shout in John 15? Forget the exact passage. It's John. It doesn't make a difference. What did they shout? They shout, "Take him away! Azazel! Take away that goat! I never want to see him again." You see, he is the holy sacrifice for us. He is the one who was crucified for our sin. He is the one who takes all of our sin and takes it away. You know, when I was planning on going to seminary, I was visiting a number of different seminaries, and one seminary I went to in particular, it was a whole weekend experience, and I was waiting with a number of seminary students to go, or prospective students to go in to a dinner. We were standing in a circle and talking, and there was one guy who spoke up. It was during the Lenten season. It was spring. We were preparing for Easter. This one guy spoke up and he said, "You know, I don't know what the big deal is about Jesus' crucifixion." I just thought, you want to be a seminary student? And he went on to say, he said, I really don't understand what's the big deal. He said, there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people that were crucified at the same time that Jesus was crucified during that era. And they all suffered the exact same pain that Jesus suffered. So I don't really understand what's the big deal about this. My jaw dropped. Felt the Holy Spirit inside me working, and all of a sudden I spoke to him and I said this. I said, "You're absolutely right. There's no difference between Jesus' crucifixion and all the other men and women, perhaps, that were crucified during the Roman era. They all suffered the same pain. But there is one very significant difference between his crucifixion and all the other crucifixions. And that is this: that Jesus took all of the sins for all of humanity, for all time, and put them on himself. He who was innocent, who knew no sin, who was completely pure in every sense of the word, took all of our sin and put it on him. He became sin for us. He became wicked for us. He became ugly for us. And at that moment, he was separated from the Heavenly Father. And he, on the cross, shouted out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he became all of our sin. You see, that is the significant difference. He is the Passover lamb and the sacrifice of atonement. He is that scapegoat that was taken away for us. And so what's the application for us? You know, when I think back to the time when I felt so guilty and I went to a pastor, I was a Christian. God had forgiven me of all of my sins. But I didn't understand that. So I needed to go through that exercise to understand it. You see, Satan was there. He's saying, Jerry, remember all those things you did in the past? They weren't very good. In fact, a lot of that stuff was really ugly. And you don't measure up to this. And you aren't really worthwhile. Why would God want to do anything for you? You're not lovable. You're insecure. Whatever it was, he just weighed me down. And after that, what do I say to Satan? I say, the goat has left the room. You see, you might be here right now and you might be thinking that my sin is weighing me down. And what do? You need to confess it. You need to get help for it. You need to go to someone possibly, or just maybe a brother who you trust, and confess the sins and be forgiven to experience the grace of God coming through the body of Christ. You need to do that, and you need to say, Satan, the goat has left the room. No longer am I guilty of that. No longer will I see any of that. No longer will that affect me, because Jesus has already died for it, and He is God, the perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice that will take away all sins of all humanity for all time. The goat has left the room. Now perhaps some of you might be sitting here, perhaps there's one, perhaps there's more who are sitting here, you don't ever remember asking Jesus to forgive your sins. And if that's the case, you need to start right there. The goat's sitting right before you. And Jesus is saying to you, you know what? I've confessed all the sins over that goat. I am the high priest. I am confessing those sins unto myself, as Jesus Christ saying that to you. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to put your trust in Jesus Christ? Are you going to say, yes, Jesus, I believe that you're God who died for my sins, and I believe that I need to be forgiven, and that it is only through you, and so please forgive me, be the Lord of my life, and Jesus, take the goat out of the room. That's the first step, and if you haven't done that, then I would highly recommend around your tables today that you would discuss with one another to say, have you done that? Have you taken that step? Or perhaps there's some sin that's weighing you down. You just need to confess that and to say, confess, the goat's left the room. I'm free. Galatians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Almighty God, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for being our sacrifice of atonement, for being our Passover lamb, for delivering us, for being the scapegoat that was taken away, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might have life and have it to the full, and everlasting life with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen. Amen.